Hey, it's win or go home in the first round of the best of three in the WNBA playoffs. The defending champs blew out the Liberty in game two on Saturday. Now they go on the road with a new format. Sky, Liberty, game three tonight, 9 Eastern, ESPN, and of course, the app. Meanwhile, on planet Earth over the weekend, during the Gronk UFC telecast, Gronk smashing watermelons.
Did he need the poncho though? Like, I don't think the trajectory of watermelons, obviously it's not flying up in the air. I can put it on like, you know, the little kid, you have a little basketball and a bounty ball and it bounces up. If you do something like that, maybe, but you don't need a poncho for it.
Why John Gruden Gronk should have been in Vegas.
Why?
This is exactly why.
Why?
Because we can have more antics like this.
Yeah, you think so?
Or Gronk.
Will we see those on the sideline on the NFL season? That's what everyone's asking. Hey, welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. It is brought to you by Chase. I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. I got Harry Douglas here. I got Sam Acho here as well. We got Tim Hasselbeck with us, Dan Graziano as well. And it's time to get up with the GOAT. Brady, he's back at practice. Was Tom's absence a distraction, or is Tampa talking title again? Plus, in Green Bay, without Devontae Adams, is there more Aaron Rodgers should have done to prepare this inexperienced receiving core? And some expect Dak to deliver in Dallas, but have the Cowboys given their QB a chance to succeed? We got that and a whole lot more as we get up with you right now. But let's get to the game of the night. It is Mets and the Yankees from the Boogie Down Bronx. We're going to pick this up bottom of the third. Yankees up 1-0. Aaron Judge facing Max Scherzer. All rise. That is number 47 for Judge. Snaps a 9-game home run drought. It was the longest streak of the season for him. He went 2-for-4 in this game. Yankees up 2-0 to the seventh. One out. Pete Alonso at the plate for the Mets. As Waldo Cabrera, Marwin Gonzalez both go for the ball. They don't communicate and drop it. Alonso safe at first. Errors charged to Cabrera. You knew that would come back and bite him. Why? Next batter, Daniel Vogelbach. And Vogie got it. 2-run big fly to him. That one goes right in the bullpen there in right center. His 16th of the season. Mets trail now just 3-2. So we go to the seventh. A runner on, two outs for Andrew Benintendi. Boy, his bat is smoking right about now. He went 2-for-3 in this game. Had a couple of RBIs. Here's one right here. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa comes in to score. Yankees go up 4-2. They win it 4-2. They win consecutive games for the first time this month. Let's get back to Judge, though. He's now back on pace to break Roger Maris's franchise and American League single season home run record. Now, assuming he plays in all 39 of the Yankees' remaining games, he's on current pace to have him finish with 62 home runs. To football. Next stop, Tampa. Tom Brady returned to the Buccaneers and to social media, by the way, on Monday, ending what has been described as an 11-day prearranged break from training camp for personal reasons. Head coach Todd Bowles talked about Brady's first day back.
Very familiar with the offense, so him coming back in and us getting back to work is kind of normal. Just getting used to the heat and getting used to the guys, but, you know, he ran the offense well.
So Tom Brady says he's back. You heard the coach saying that he ran the offense well. Listen, they've got a lot of offensive line issues there. Is this the toughest test you think that Tom Brady is going to encounter since coming to Tampa?
I think so, but I actually think Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to be okay. When you look at a veteran guy, the greatest of all time, 7 Super Bowls, he's going to figure out ways to get that football out quick. He did it at a very high level last year. I think it's going to be even quicker this year, understanding the circumstances. Now, when you understand the circumstances, you're going to act accordingly, and you're going to make sure you do everything to make sure you don't put that offensive line in harm's way or yourself. Max protecting, getting the ball out quicker, more screens, draws, certain things like that, up-tempo so the defensive line just can't tee off on you. Those are the type of things that Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, are going to be able to do for this offense to stay afloat.
What do you think, Sam?
I think it'll be his toughest year. I think it'll be Tom Brady's toughest year, partly because of what he already has accomplished. And I get it. He already won 2, he won 3, he won 4, he won 5. But he came to a new team, no Belichick, no Kraft, no whatever. He came to a new team, 2020, wins a Super Bowl. He comes back to that new team. He nearly goes to the Super Bowl again. He retires 40 days. He enjoys retirement, but I guess he wants to come back. Then he take, I mean, I got no issues taking days off. Do your thing, spend time with family. But that's part of the reason why I think it'll be hard, right? Like, you've seen what it's like on the other side. You've seen what it's like. I have all the rings. I've accomplished, I have a new job, I have a job waiting for me. Like, literally, I could stop right now and go get almost 400. I have a job waiting for me. Yes, I want to come back and play, but it takes a lot of emotional energy to play the game of football. It takes a lot of sacrifice, and Tom Brady has it all. But part of me just wonders, when will it, is it time? Mm. Is it time? And not now, finish the season, do your thing, but like, there's that emotional piece of like, man, I gotta invest a lot. I've seen the other side. Maybe I do play and I fulfill my commitment, but I think in the back of my mind, there might be some other thoughts.
Tim, what are your thoughts?
I mean, listen, every year is a challenge, especially as you get older. But like, you know, Sam mentioned the issue in terms of 2020. Think about this. Tom Brady had been in New England forever. Goes to a new team, new coaching staff. And, oh, by the way, that's the COVID offseason where you weren't able to practice. You didn't have an offseason. You just think back to sneaking on the high school fields and then, you know, just the uncertainty of what the season was going to look like. So I think the biggest challenge he's ever faced was that first year in Tampa, and look what he accomplished. So, look, will it be a challenge? Sure, it'll be a challenge. Every year is. But, man, 2 years ago, I think, was a much more difficult task.
Graz, where you stand?
For me, there are more question marks on the roster outside of Brady than he had in 2020 or 2021. So I would say yes, toughest test, because I think he'll have to do even more to elevate, especially in those sort of problem areas. But I also think, I mean, I think he relishes that, you know, being the problem solver, being the guy that has to figure out how to solve the puzzle. Look, last year, you know, they were counting on Antonio Brown. He goes down with an injury prior to all the other stuff that happened with him. He goes down with an injury, and all of a sudden they change the offense. They're throwing it to Fournette out of the backfield. I mean, Brady can, he can figure this stuff out. I do think there's more to figure out on the roster outside of the quarterback position than he had when he got there.
You know, Graz is talking about issues on that roster. That offensive line has just been riddled with injuries. What do you think? Would that offensive line prevent them from going to the Super Bowl?
It's a possibility, but I think the best thing for this offensive line is that you have a massive and a strong defensive line. You talk about Akeem Hicks, Vita Vea, Shaq Barrett, Joe Tryon. Those guys are going to be able to push these offensive linemen and make sure they are ready for the regular season. And I think it's also Todd Bowles' job to realize that, you know what, we have a strong defensive unit. Let's really make sure we up things a little bit more in training camp so this unit isn't caught by surprise or shot when the regular season starts.
Three things.
You know else will be able to push that offensive line?
Talk to
the
me.
The Cowboys when they play them. The yes. Saints when they play them. Whoever else they play, they're going to be able to push that offensive line. And so the offensive line is decimated, but I don't think it's as bad as we think. I don't think it's as bad as we think. Aaron Sinney went down. Aaron Sinney was competing for a starting spot. Well, now the other guy, Gadecki, the rookie, he can step in at that starting spot. Robert Hainsey, the center, who just recently after Jensen went down, now he stepped up at center. He has a little bit of time to continue to gel with Tom Brady. And so, yes, there's decimation along the front of Tampa Bay's offense. But if your rookie who you drafted can step in and learn the position, he's got a couple weeks and maybe a couple, first part of the season. If your center can step in, there's a lot of ifs, right? Center can step in. You bring in Shaq Mason, who has a relationship and history with Tom Brady from New England. And if Tristan Wirfs' injury apparently isn't as bad as people say, the oblique isn't as bad, I think they'll be okay. I really do. I think it'll take time, especially early in the season. But I think as when the rubber meets the road, when it really counts, I think Tom Brady and the line will be fine.
You know, Brady, I think, was second in the league last year in getting the football out from the line of scrimmage. He's going to probably have to be first.
Very important.
He's going to have to probably
very,
be first.
Very, very important.
Good thing was Mike Evans was back at practice. Yeah. Chris Godwin participated in some team drills. So that's a good thing there for Tampa. All right, Graz, let's run the hurry up, and let's start with Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield named the starting quarterback yesterday by the Carolina Panthers. We kind of saw it trending this way. They had Sam Darnold all offseason. They decided to trade for Baker right before training camp. That obviously indicated they weren't satisfied with Darnold. Mayfield picked up the offense quickly. He's impressed them in the building. He will get the shot to start week one, by the way, against the Cleveland Browns. The New Orleans Saints have Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback. We know this. He's coming off of an injury, and this training camp has been about managing his way back from that injury so they can get him to week one healthy, participating in 11-on-11 team drills for the first time since he injured his foot. That is an encouraging sign. Head coach Dennis Allen indicates that Winston probably won't play in the final preseason game. We'll see if that happens or not. But again, the focus on getting Winston to week one healthy yesterday, an encouraging step in that direction. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Giants rookie pass rusher Kayvon Thibodeau will get to week one healthy. He took this big hit on his knee from in the Bengals game the other night. Giants got good news on that. It's a sprained MCL. The ACL is intact. They expect him to miss about 3 to 4 weeks. And then, you know, it may be a little time after that before he's back up to full speed, which is disappointing because, you know, they expected a big impact from this rookie edge rusher in year one. But he's too important to their future for them to rush him back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that obviously that block was the big debate on social media, especially Twitter, whether it's dirty, not dirty. What do you think? Should the NFL outlaw that cut block? I know it's been legislated out in college football.
Yeah, I don't think so. I thought it was a dirty play. You see plays like this happen throughout an NFL season each week about 15 to 20 times. Now, I would tell Kayvon Thibodeau this. You got to use your hands, my man. This is not college where you can just run over everybody and overpower them. At the same time. So I think with a little bit better coaching, a little bit understanding of coaching a little bit better, this will be seen. Now, a lot of people took to social media to saying that this was egregious, this was cowardly, this is a dirty play. In my eyes, a dirty play is a wide receiver like Chris Godwin going across the middle catching a football, but at the same time not having the sense that a defensive player is on the opposite side waiting to saw his legs off. So if we're going to outlaw that block, are we going to do the same for these type of tackles? Because I'm all for a man looking another man in his eyes and they going at it, or you see the cut coming, but you can't see a defender waiting on you on the opposite side to saw your leg off like this right here. And he tore his ACL and he's waiting to come back. Practicing now, thank goodness, but he did tear his ACL on that play.
Sam, you're a defensive player.
Yep.
Your thoughts? Should they outlaw this?
Before I answer that, I'll ask a question for the people who say it's egregious. Why is it egregious? Why is it because Thibodeau got injured? Right there, looking eye to eye, we see each other. We know what's happening, right? You're either going to go high or go low. If you go low, I'm going to avoid it. If you stay high, we're going to have a collision. Is it egregious because I'm a smaller player and you're a bigger player? I'm a bigger player and you're a small. Why is it? Like, those are my questions. For me, you are taught to take on the block and to avoid the block. Yes, use your hands, get out of the way, or to collision it or get low. You are taught these things. And so I feel for Kayvon Thibodeau, and I'm glad it's not as bad of an injury as it could have been.
Me too.
But they're looking eye to eye. Like, you know what's bad. At least you should have known. Not you should have known. Nobody should. You know, people say don't should on yourself.
You should have understood.
You practice this stuff.
Yeah.
You practice it. And so, for me, either the coach needs to be held more accountable to get your players ready. And if we want to go down the line of changing the rule, then let's talk about a broader scope. Not just because this injury happened, now let's change this rule. Because there's also other injuries, like we talked about, the one you just showed on film, that we could change a lot of rules.
Tim, what do you think on this thing?
Well, listen, the reality is it's not a dirty play. It's a legal play, you know, as the guys stated. You know, Brian, you brought up the point. They changed this in college this upcoming season. So that if this play were to happen on a Saturday, it would be it's a penalty. It's not legal in college football. And so, you know, if the question is, should it be changed, the reality is it's going to eventually be changed because of things like this. Now, it's also important for everybody to realize this is split zone. Okay, split zone in terms of the blocking scheme has been around for as long as I've been alive. And the reality of it is it's how people have blocked it for the last 2 or 3 decades. So you would be changing something that's been in the game forever, which would take some adjusting, but it's probably, you know, going to happen. And I would just say this, just like they've changed how you can hit defenseless receivers, like in the example that Harry showed, look, here's what will happen. If you're going to take the head out of the game, then you are, you know, changing where guys are going to get hit, which is going to be low. And I would just say that most players would say, look, I would rather you hit me up high than hit me low. And people are going to be uncomfortable with it. But when you start to say you can't do this, you can only do that, there's going to be unintended consequences. In many of these scenarios where you're trying to protect the head, you're going low on guys.
Yeah, we'll see what the rules committee of the NFL says about this going forward. All right, coming up, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers adjusting to life without Devontae Adams. But is there more the MVP could have done to improve Green Bay's chances this season? Plus, have the Cowboys set up Dak Prescott for his best season ever? Some of our team says no, and find out why next on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, Graz is back and it is Overreaction Tuesday. I make a statement. You say if it's an overreaction or not, Graz. Let's start with the Rams. They will miss the playoffs.
Not an overreaction. And look, I know there's a defending Super Bowl champs. I respect it. There's no question about it. But look, they won the division by one game over the Cardinals and two over the 49ers last year. It's a tough division. It will be again. We don't know the left tackle transition, the quarterback's elbow hurt. You ask me, are the Rams going to make the playoffs? I'd probably say yes. But it's not an overreaction to think that they might not.
Kenny Pickett will lead the Steelers to the playoffs.
Overreaction. We don't know a lot of things about the Steelers. We don't know how Kenny Pickett will perform in his rookie season. We don't know if the offensive line can block anybody. And we also don't even know, by the way, that he has the job yet. So I think it's a very, very tough AFC. I think that Mike Tomlin will keep the Steelers competitive, but too many question marks for me to predict them to make the playoffs at this point.
Alan Lazard will have his first 1,000-yard season this year with Green Bay.
Not an overreaction. Look, it's Aaron Rodgers. We talked about young wide receivers and developing trust. This is a player he already trusts. There's going to have to be a number one wide receiver in Green Bay. Alan Lazard definitely wants it to be him, and Aaron Rodgers has already called him his number one wide receiver. The idea of him getting 1,000 yards if he's healthy, absolutely not out of the question.
All right, speaking of Green Bay, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he skipped OTAs this year. He was asked if showing up would have made a difference in the building chemistry with his young group of receivers who've been having some drops lately.
Not really. Training camp is a long experience. There's plenty of time for conversations, for practice, for a lot of the things that we expect them to do in the regular season. You know, similar schedule last year, we came in, hit the ground running. Obviously some different players this year, but I feel like the offense, especially in the last week or so, has been clicking closer to where I think we should be trending.
All right, begs the question here, should Aaron Rodgers have gone to OTAs to get a better rapport with the receivers who've been dropping passes? What do you think, Harry?
I think so. Now, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers should have showed up every single day to OTAs, but at least go to some of them. When you have three guys in that wide receiver group in Sammy Watkins, Romeo Doubs, and Christian Watkins, who is new to that team, you want to kind of get there and build that rapport, build that chemistry, even if you aren't going out there on the football field every day. Let those guys hear your voice. Let them know your expectations. But at the end of the day, I will say this. Wide receivers get paid to catch the football. these guys have to catch the football at the end of the day. But I do believe Aaron Rodgers should have came at least some. Now, I know he was out in Hawaii, you know, doing this little whatever he was doing. Right. To each his own, A-Rod, right. To each his own.
Tim, where do you stand on this?
Look, I think that it's not fair to say it wouldn't be helpful. He's one of the best players in all of football. You know, younger players being around Aaron Rodgers in a practice scenario would be good for those players. And so, you know, I don't want to minimize that aspect of it. At the same time, like to think that, you know, a few of these opportunities, in the spring and early summer where, you know, Aaron Rodgers could be with some of these players, to think that that's going to have a significant impact, on the season, I think is an overreaction, to follow up on Dan's overreaction Tuesday. So, look, would it have been helpful? Sure, it would have been helpful. Do I think it impacts the season? No, I don't think it does.
All right. Dan, overreaction when we talk about A-Rod going to OTAs, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's an overreaction to think that when they lose to the 49ers in the second round of the playoffs this year, it'll be because Aaron Rodgers didn't go to OTAs. Look, I mean, that's a small period of time. And, could it be a getting to know you time? Sure, but they don't do a lot in OTAs. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, the players on the set, but they don't do a whole bunch in OTAs. And Rodgers is of the opinion that training camp is enough time. He's not even the one. Jordan Love's been throwing mainly to the young receivers in this camp as well. So Rodgers is kind of assessing their performance from the outside. There's no indication that he had no contact with them, right? He might have been in touch with the wide receivers back in May and June in a way that was similar to what it would have been if he had been there. So, yeah, I don't buy that that's a big deal.
Sam, what do you think?
The receivers are dropping passes from Jordan Love, at least in the preseason, right? In the games. In practice, they're also dropping passes from Aaron Rodgers. But in the preseason games, they're also dropping passes from Jordan Love. And so Aaron Rodgers showing up in April for a two-hour, you're on a field for 2 hours, some of the times maybe 1 hour, isn't going to help you catch passes from Jordan Love. And so for me, work on the little things, right? Like that's not, oh man, Aaron Rodgers wasn't here, so that's why I've had all these drops. No, some of these receivers had drops issues in college. And so you work on it. It's a little thing. And I think Aaron Rodgers calling out these players, Romeo Doubs, Amari Rodgers, it's helping them because I saw improvement. Not just part of the job is to catch. Part of the job is to do your assignment on run blocking as well. And there were a couple crack tosses that were missed 2 weeks ago that were corrected last week. And so, no, this is a non-issue for Aaron Rodgers not being around in April and May when he's been around all training camp and these receivers have had time to work on their hands.
So some may say then, Harry, what it may come down to ball placement. Jordan Love keeps putting the ball here, whereas Aaron Rodgers puts the ball here. I'm used to maybe the ball being here and Jordan Love putting it elsewhere.
Yeah, that's an excuse. if the football hits your hand, you got to catch the football. And listen, if that's coming from me, a wide receiver, because, I'm of the mindset, Tim, y'all never get blamed for anything at the quarterback position. But at the same time, watching that film, that's why after that first preseason game, a lot of people was like, looked at the box score. They was like, Jordan Love played terrible. I asked them, did you watch the film? Because he didn't play terrible to me. Could he have put the ball in different spots for the running backs to make easier catches? Yes, but those balls that he was throwing to the wide receivers, they must catch those type of footballs.
Yeah, all right, good point. Coming up, Dak Prescott, he came off of really a horrific injury, received a major deal, and had a career season. But should we expect more from the Cowboys QB? One of our experts says he won't even be the best QB in his division. You don't want to miss this. That's next on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, welcome back. Let's play a game. Better, worse, or the same. Tim, I'm going to start with you. Will Patrick Mahomes be better, worse, or the same this season?
It's going to be better. I think everybody is overreacting to the situation with Tyreek Hill being gone. Look, they have other good players on that roster at tight end, at receiver, running back, and Andy Reid has been amazing at designing plays to get guys open. And Patrick Mahomes is getting better as a player, so I expect him to be better.
Sam, will Tom Brady be better, worse, or the same this season?
I'm going to go worse based off of Tom Brady's standards. Last year, Tom Brady led the NFL in passing yards. He had over 5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns. It's hard to beat that. That's a lot of yards, so I'm going to go worse, especially early on. There's question marks along the offensive line. Chris Godwin's still getting healthy. I will go worse.
Harry, will Dak Prescott be better, worse, or the same this season?
I'm going to go worse because he's a product of his environment. We don't know what this offensive line is going to be. You have question marks at wide receiver number two. Can Dak, can Zeke, can those guys stay healthy? So those are the concerns that I have. The environment that's around him, I don't think it's set up for him to have success.
By the way, I want you guys to take a listen to this because yesterday on the show, Marcus Spears also expressed some concern with the Cowboys supporting cast surrounding Dak. Take a listen to Swaggo.
He's not set up for his best season yet. And if anybody wanted to just come on here and flat out lie to the American public and tell them that a quarterback is going to have his best season and they don't know what the hell his offensive line is going to look like, then we just paying checks to anybody to come on TV.
All right. Are Swaggoo's concerns about the Cowboys warranted? What do you think, Harry?
He has a valid point. When you look at the wide receiver group besides CeeDee Lamb, who is going to be that guy, right? So now teams defensively, they can double CeeDee Lamb. They can put their best corner on him as well. Now, I also think the health factor, is Ezekiel Elliott going to be healthy? Is Tony Pollard? Is that run game? Is Kellen Moore going to be able to design more creative runs to make sure that run game is valuable? And then last but not least, you look at the offensive line. We don't know what that offensive line is going to be. The last time we've seen them play, they got dominated by a San Francisco front four.
All right, Tim, what are your thoughts?
Look, I would say this. Think back to last year. We're all in agreement that Dak had maybe his best season ever as a pro last year. That was coming off of a massive injury that led him to miss a bunch of the offseason, which then led into a shoulder injury throughout training camp. And he played last season where he only had one offensive lineman start every single game last year. And now we're all of a sudden panicked that Dak Prescott is not going to have a good year. Like, why isn't he more set up for success this year than he was a year ago when we weren't even sure when he was going to be ready to participate, in off-season practices? So I actually think Dak is going to have a great year. Look, is it perfect to lose one of your best wide receivers? No. Will they find guys? I believe they will. I think they run the football better. I think they have a better sense of what their backs can do. And I think Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. He's going to have a great season.
Yeah, and I think we talk a lot about Dak, and certainly some of the focus needs to be on Zeke Elliott. What kind of Zeke Elliott are they going to get out of there? Which team do you think is best positioned then to win the NFC East area?
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. When you look at this team, especially offensively, they had the number one rushing offense in the National Football last year. That's not going to drop off because I think they have the best offensive line. If not in football, they're top two or top three. Not to mention, I think their wide receiver core in this division is the best. The addition of A.J. Brown, a guy that's a big body guy that you can just throw the football up to and say, you know what, go get it for me, make a play. He's that type of guy. Last but not least, I just look at Jalen Hurts. I think his surroundings is going to allow him to have the best season in the NFC East as a quarterback. So that's how I feel about this team. But you look at the defensive side, that defensive line, they have some dogs over there. They added Jordan Davis to that. They added N'Kobe Dean to the linebacking core as well. So I'm high on the Philadelphia Eagles right now, and a lot of teams in the NFC better be watching out for them.
As you were speaking, I'm looking over at Sam, and he's looking at you like, you out your mind. What do you think, Sam?
Well, I just go back to last year, and I think about how, remember how the Eagles made their playoff run? We're like, man, the Eagles, they're winning, winning. A lot of those teams weren't playoff teams. Like Jalen Hurts teams, when he was at quarterback for the Eagles last year, they were 0-6 versus playoff teams. And so, yes, they got better defensively and offensively. But I also remember that playoff game versus Tampa Bay, and it didn't look good. And so, for me, I think the Cowboys are still best positioned to win the NFC East, even though there are question marks at receiver for the Cowboys, even though they lost one of their defensive stars in Randy Gregory. I still think they're best positioned because this is year two in Dan Quinn's defense. And in all reality, Dak Prescott, I believe, is a better quarterback right now.
Tim, let me give you the final word on this. Which team is in the best position to win this division? I remember we had the discussion, and you said the one concern you had with Jalen Hurts was the pocket presence sometimes with him, obviously in the accuracy. But what do you think?
Well, here's what I would say is, you know, the far and away best quarterback in the division is Dak Prescott, far and away, in terms of, you know, everything that he can do as a player, how good he is pre-snap, how good he is post-snap, how good of a passer he is. And truth be told, in the NFL, you still need to be able to do that. And so, look, I'm going to give the advantage overwhelmingly to Dallas in that area. And I think this, look, Dallas, let's not forget how much they improved a season ago on the defensive side of the ball. And there's no reason to believe that they're still not getting better. I get it, they lost Randy Gregory, but I do think that, you know, year one of Dan Quinn with some young players was a pretty good start, and I think they're going to build off of that. So I think Dallas is the best team in the division, and I think that they should be the favorite to win it.
All right, to a bizarre developing story in the NFL. Now, on Gronk's telecast on Saturday, UFC president Dana White told a story about how Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski nearly landed with the Raiders in 2020 instead of the Bucks. I want you guys to take a listen to this.
I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders. And it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute, Gruden blew the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And all hell broke loose, man. It was crazy.
Now, the Raiders owner Mark Davis responded in the Las Vegas Review-Journal saying, quote, "I heard about Dana White's comments. That was, what, 2-3 years ago or something? I don't know, man. Talk to Dana. I remember that Tom Brady went to Tampa. That's basically what I remember," end quote. All right, let's delve into this live world of hypotheticals, Graz. What sticks out most to you out of all of this?
I mean, there's so much, right? Like, I mean, first of all, 2 years ago is not that long to remember if you're Mark Davis. But anyway, look, Brady, there's a lot of what-ifs, right? Brady was about to turn 43. The Raiders aren't the only team that wouldn't have that would have said no. I mean, I still think he would have liked to go to the San Francisco 49ers, but they were coming off a Super Bowl appearance. They looked into it. They chose not to pursue him. So the Raiders would not be alone in this situation. But think back, right? Like, we didn't know Brady was going to play this well in Tampa Bay, win the Super Bowl right out of the gate. It's a given looking back. If he had gone to the Raiders, right, were they a ready-made Super Bowl team? Would they have been able to get there with him? If he had gone to the Miami Dolphins, think about that. They never draft Tua, right? Is Brian Flores still the coach? You know, like, there's so much that has happened as a result. If he goes to San Francisco, are they two-time defending Super Bowl champions? There's a lot of what-ifs. Tampa took the plunge. Other teams didn't. The Chargers tried, and he told them no. But the Raiders wouldn't be alone in this, that's for sure.
What do you think of it? You know, even in that world, Tim, think about it. If Brady would have went to the Chargers, that'd be no Justin Herbert there. What do you think about all this?
Yeah.
Point left one team out. Tennessee Titans were another team that yep. were rumored to be interested at the time. You know, and so you just run down the list of teams that could have added Tom Brady. And at the time, you're right, I think people were looking at it, how long is he going to play? How good will he actually be? Has it been Bill or has it been Tom? The reality is, or the situation kind of has been cleared up a little bit. A lot of it was Tom. And, you know, there's probably some regret among those teams that could have added Tom Brady, because what you do know now is that he's continued to play at a high level, still has a passion for playing, and I guess what would have looked like, you know, maybe a one-year opportunity has now turned into a three-year opportunity of Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Harry, what sticks out to you most here?
I think two things, that if Tom Brady would have came to your team, whoever would have welcomed him in, you had an opportunity to compete. Compete for what? Possibly a Super Bowl. And the second thing that we know is that free agents and guys along amongst the NFL would have loved to follow Brady. You talk about Las Vegas? In Vegas, where that team had just went, that franchise, that city would have loved something and could have boosted, could have benefited tremendously from Tom Brady and actually Gronk and other free agents going there and playing.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is hearing him saying that Gruden didn't want him, but when Gruden first got to the Raiders, there was talk that maybe he wasn't the biggest Derek Carr fan as well, and yet he stuck with him. By the way, guys, from football to baseball, because we've got four more Little League World Series elimination games for you here on the network. We got Nicaragua and Panama. They started things off at 1 Eastern, followed by the kids from Indiana taking on Pennsylvania. And then it's Curacao in Canada. That will cap the day. And then also we've got Davenport, Iowa. They're going to take on Pearland, Texas. All games are also available on the ESPN app, and where you can watch those games anywhere. All right, coming up, Trey Lance looks ready to lead the Niners this season, but is anything less than a trip to the Super Bowl acceptable in San Francisco? You're watching Get Up. But first, little sneaky himbo time. This one's for you, Garage. You know that. Who owns the 49ers record for the most passing yards in a season? Think about it. We'll answer that after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, back to Sneaky Himbo. So we asked this question before the break. Who owns the 49ers record for the most passing yards in a season, Graz? What do you think?
So most people see this question, they're going to think about Joe Montana. They're going to think about Steve Young. They might even think about maybe Alex Smith, who was the one pick. I am not most people. I was put on this earth to torment and bedevil Himbo. And because of that, I know that Jeff Garcia holds the 49ers single-season passing record in a year in the early 2000s. There it is, 2000, when he had Terrell Owens and Jerry Rice, and he was chucking it like crazy. And Jeff Garcia is the random answer to this question. Sorry, Himbo. I'm not
sorry. Wow. Listen, I just knew it was Steve Young. And you're right. Jeff Garcia in 2000, Steve Young. And how about this? Graz dominating Himbo. Up six right now. Boy, you gotta love that. Grimes is just laughing like, bro, you gotta come better than that Himbo. Our resident QB, Tim Hasselbeck, he's with us. So let's run through some quick QB reads here from young QBs this preseason. And let's start with Kenny Pickett.
Yo, Brian, Kenny Pickett, like all three Pittsburgh quarterbacks this preseason, has played really well. And I think because of that, It's obviously, you know, changed the speculation of who the starter week one will be. I referenced earlier Kenny Pickett's age, his experience playing at the college level. I think he's ready to be the guy, and I wouldn't wait because you only have a relatively small window to evaluate a first-round quarterback while he's still on his rookie year. And so I would start him sooner rather than later. Down in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, look, it probably hasn't gone as smoothly. I think Trevor certainly had his moments, but I think there are times that he kind of has looked like a first-year player. And I think some of that is because we have to, in some ways, throw away last year. It was kind of such a disaster. I think it was kind of his first experience, you know, struggling, kind of dealing with some of the on-field adversity that he faced being in Jacksonville. But I think ultimately by the end of the year, we see a really good player. And then Trey Lance out in San Francisco. I've been really impressed. I've been somewhat cautious because of the lack of experience. You know, hasn't played a ton of football, over the last three seasons. But he's looked comfortable. He's looked like he has command. There's no question about the physical ability of Trey Lance. The question ends up being, is how good of a quarterback is he right now when you think about, playing one game as last year in college, not playing a ton of football last year, to then all of a sudden take over on one of the better teams, better rosters in the National Football League.
Graz, I know you're so plugged in around the league. What are you hearing around the league-wide about Trey Lance?
Yeah, look, I think the 49ers are trying to tamp down expectations a little bit for Trey Lance. They believe they have a very good team around him and that they can win with him as their quarterback. But they also recognize how inexperienced he is, to Tim's point, that there will inevitably be mistakes made and that they have to overcome them. They think they have the defense and the linemen and the skill position players to help him. Ultimately, they believe this is going to be a great player. It's why they traded up and took him third overall. Kyle Shanahan sees a player who can do things Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't do, who can do things no quarterback he's ever had can do in terms of athleticism, in terms of throwing the ball. So that's the expectation for Trey Lance in the future. This year, I think, you know, they expect him to play well, but they also expect him to have some bumps in the road like young players do. They just feel like they can support him enough to win.
All right. So is he equipped, though, you think, to lead the 49ers, you think, to the Super Bowl?
I think at some point, when you look at the 49ers and what they were able to do, and I'm going to kind of compare it to the Los Angeles Rams, and I know Trey Lance isn't Matthew Stafford, but what the Rams did, Sean McVay, same kind of system, they said, you know what, we're going to put all our marbles in. We're going to go get a Matthew Stafford to take us over the hump. And not letting Jimmy Garoppolo be your starter, you're basically saying, you know what, we're going to let Trey Lance at some point this season take over and get us over the hump. Now, when you look at a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, he helped them get to a Super Bowl, right? He helped them get to the NFC Championship game last year, and if it wasn't for a dropped interception, you pretty much can say they probably would have made another Super Bowl appearance. When you see a guy like Trey Lance, he does things way better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Way more athletic, arm is stronger, but he's going to have those times this year where he has those rough patches. Luckily for the 49ers, the first two games this year are against the Seattle Seahawks and the Chicago Bears. So you can have mistakes against teams like that versus stellar teams and opponents in your division.
You think Trey Lance is equipped to lead this 49ers Super Bowl?
I think he is. And you talk about equipment. What is equipment? It's the things that you use to accomplish a goal. And so you look at the equipment that he has. He has Trent Williams, one of the best tackles in the game. He has Kyle Juszczyk, one of the best, if not the best, fullback in the game. He has Deebo Samuel, one of the top receivers in the game. He has Kyle Shanahan, one of the best offensive minds in the game. He has, they brought back D'Amico Ryans, a defensive coordinator, one of the best defenses in the game to help lead that defense. He's equipped to lead this team. The question is, will he be able to get over those bumps in the road that will inevitably come? As a rookie quarterback, or really second year, but essentially a rookie quarterback, there are going to be some bumps in the road. You talked about an injury that he had last year. You're going to work through injuries, work through playing through an entire season, work through all the things that come with playing an entire NFL season. And so for me, I think he's definitely equipped to lead the team to a Super Bowl, and if not this year, for the years to come. That's why they traded and went and got
him. I think the most important thing that you said is that the players that they have on their roster, right? I call them star players, players that can do more than one thing, a multiplicity of different things. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Kittle. They even lined Trent Williams up in the backfield, the best left tackle, the best tackle offensive lineman in the National Football League to do different things. Not to mention that other star player in Trey Lance being dynamic. It's all about when can he be afloat, how can he manage those bumps and bruises and learn from his mistakes moving forward. Yeah.
Tim, I'll give you the final word here.
Look, I just think he's still an unproven player. Like, so for me to say, hey, you know, Super Bowl with an unproven player, he threw five passes in a preseason game. Now, he looked great, okay? Went 4 for 5. That's great. But I want to say something. I think he started 3 games. Maybe it's 4 in roughly the last, 1,000 days by the time the season starts. Like, so there will be growing pains. Look, and everything that Acho said is correct. Look, Kyle Shanahan's great. The roster's great. All of that is true. But he's still a very young player that when you get into a known passing situation on third down, you're going to get fooled. You're going to get tricked. Like, it happens to guys that have played a decade in the NFL, and I think it's going to happen more often with a young player.
All right, coming up here is First Take. As soon as we're done, there's a new team that emerges in that Kevin Durant discussions. Plus, should anyone take issues with Tom Brady's time away from camp? Stephen A., Molly, they're going to be joined by Jay Williams and Marcus Spears, top of the hour.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Scotty Scheffler leads the FedEx standings. He's going to start at 10 under heading into the PGA Tour season finale. Now, the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, it begins Thursday morning on ESPN+. Our main feed coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, featured holes at noon Eastern, featured groups at 1. And we'll have all the morning afternoon coverage of all 4 rounds on ESPN+. To New England. Mac Jones played 3 series in the Patriots' second preseason game. It was highlighted by that 45-yard completion to Nelson Aguilar. Set up a touchdown. You know, on WEEI, Bill Belichick was asked, who's going to call plays for his second-year quarterback?
There are a lot of people that are involved in all 3 phases of the game. Ultimately, I'm responsible for all of it. So if you want to ask who's in charge, then it would be me, because I have the final say in every area.
He said, me.
Listen, that response reminds me of the song by Drake and Meek Mill, Going Bad. You asked to see the ball, so they sent me. Let them all know, Bill Belichick, everything is going to come through you, the head coach. If you don't want to play to be run, you're going to abort it, and you're going to make sure the right one is being ran.
You know, Drake also says, you know how sticky it gets.
Yeah.
It's getting sticky there in that New
And
England.
It's almost like that Nick Saban, like, you know, so quit asking, right? Like, you keep on asking questions? Stop trying them. Try me. Come holler at me. You want to keep on asking? I got you. That's what it sounded like for me.
What are your expectations for the Patriots? Is that your playoff team?
No, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. When I look at this team play calling wise, when you look at the offensive coordinator, if things aren't going right, how do I get my playmakers the ball when you need a game winning drive? Can you put a string of plays together and make sure they do that? So it's a lot of things going on right now in New England.
Yeah, to me, the history of what Bill Belichick's been able to do, even without Tom Brady, last year, rookie quarterback making the playoffs, they did it before, I think they'll do it again.
Yeah, this was fun, man. This was fun.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun here. Don't forget, First Take is coming up as soon as we're done. Stephen A., Molly, J. Will, Swagoo, all of them there. For Acho, for Harry, I'm Brian Custard. Thanks for watching.